Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Rinaldi. For some of you that might not know me yet. So today I'm going to share with you. And the title today is The Story of Two Rich Young Men. So today I'm going to share about these two men. It's not a myth. It's not some legend, you know. It's a man who lived in the past. And both have kind of a similar background, both are looking for something in their life. They get the same answers, but they go a different routes. One say yes, and one say no, and remain nameless. So let's see our first man. So the first one is often called The Story of the Rich Young Rulers. As I mentioned, we don't have the name. We just have the records of his conversation with Jesus. It's from the book of Mark, if you want to open it. Mark 10, 17 to 25. And let's read. As he was setting out on his journey, so this is Jesus, you know, prepping up to go on his next mission, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments: do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and mother." And the man said to Jesus, "Teacher, all these I've kept from my youth." Ooh, that's kind of dramatic. So this young man, the rich man, comes to Jesus. He's certainly looking for something. He feels like there must be something more than his life. You know, what do I must do to inherit eternal life? And from his response, he seems like a pretty good man. I don't know if he's really good or he's arrogant, because he say, "I fulfill all the commandments," in a way. So let's hear what's next. So what does Jesus say to this man? And Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, "You lack one thing. Go, sell all that you have and give to the poor." Ooh, wow, it's pretty harsh. "And you will have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me." Disheartened by the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. So that's the first story. I just want to comment a little bit on one thing that I want to share with you, which is the one that I underlined, the word "love him." I never noticed it before, but it's such a revelation for me, because, you know, when you see this man, he hasn't done anything for Jesus, and Jesus probably knows that this young man has, his heart has something else. Jesus might know that he might reject the invitation, but yet, Jesus still look at him and love him. And I guess one thing that I want to share is just that we don't buy God's love. You know, we don't come to him and do something for him expecting love. Because in truth, God's love you already. I mean, even before you love him back, I mean, God already loved us. You know, God loved us even when we are sinners. God died for us even when we're sinners. And so I just want to share a short truth on this statement that, you know, you don't buy God's love. Please don't try coming to the church just because, oh yeah, if I come to the church, maybe God will love me a little more. Or if I give to offering, to tithing, then maybe God will love me a little bit more. Maybe I give an extra blessing or whatever it is. Because I think, you know, God already loves you. The fact that you are here, the fact that you are living, it's because God allows you to live. And I think it's such a blessing. And, you know, he loves you and he invites you to know him more. Just like what Jesus said to this young man, like, "Come and follow me." So that's just the commentary on the first story. The second one, it's not from the Bible, but this man lived a long time ago. Just to play a little guessing games, the guy name start with A. His first name is the same as a famous actor's who play Hannibal Lecter, who plays Odin in the movie Thor. who played as Dr. Robert Frost in Westworld? No one knows? No one knows? Okay, more. One of the PH kids has the first name. Anthony, yes. It's Anthony. And the actor that I mean is Anthony Hopkins. But this guy is Anthony. Where's Anthony? You. Maybe you'll be like this when you're old. I hope you will be wise and looks. But this guy is called Anthony. It's Anthony the Great, some people call him. Anthony of Egypt or Anthony of the Desert. I have high hope for you, Anthony. Anthony of the Desert. No, just kidding. So this guy, Anthony, just some fun facts. He was born in Egypt around year 250. He was born to a wealthy family. He has 300 acres. And, the family has 300 acres of land. And 1 acre is the size of a football field. So he has like 300 football fields, just the property. So he's rich. Unfortunately, his parents died when he was around 18, 20 years old. He is just the only son. And so all these things comes to him. And, with losing family members, losing his parents, being the only son, of course, he came into this confusion. And I think people these days will call it a quarter-life crisis. I don't know if some of you has quarter-life crisis. People begins to wonder, what should I do now? I'm an adult. What is my goal? What should I do with my life? So Anthony has kind of a quarter-life crisis. But what makes him special is that, when you have quarter-life crisis, oftentimes people look at motivational speaker, people look at the businessman, people look at the culture, look at their friends, or whatever people around him says, but for Anthony, he looked at the Bible. He read the Bible, and he wondered what he should do with his life. And then as he was reading the gospel, there are two things that speak to him. One is the story of the disciples, the fishermen who left their nets, their ships, their fish, and followed Jesus. The second one that speaks to him is the story of the early church in the book of Acts, where people, share their possession, where they help one another and live together. So those two things speak to his heart, but then he's still galau. Gitu ya, kalau Indo kayak masih, is it really, what should I do? And one day on Sunday, he came to the church, he opened the door, he enters, and then he hears a message. Can anyone guess? What is it? Oh, come on, it should be easy. It's the same sentences that Jesus spoke to that rich young rulers. So he entered into the church, maybe dramatically like, enter the church, and then the pastor says, you lack one thing. Go, sell all that you have and give to the poor. And you will have treasure in heaven and come and follow me. And what makes him great is that he immediately went away from the church. He sell all his lands, his property, his house, all everything that he has. He sold it. He gave the money to the poor. He lived with pious teachers, study from them, live in the community, and serve the people, serve the poor, go to prisons, and he stand up for a lot of injustice and heresy. And there's a lot of other things that he done, and that's why he eventually called Anthony the Great, right? So that is the second story. These two young men with similar background, having the same struggle in their life, hearing the same message, but they act differently. And when I share about this story, of course, I imagine that some of you will fall into this extreme. One person will hear the story and just, wow, it's a nice story, it's maybe inspiring, but then this is ridiculous, right? They will think, how am I supposed to live? Should I just give away my possession? Should I quit from my job? Should I just, quit my job and go to Harvey and then live there? I go to Houston, I mean. that might be one reaction. The other reaction might be, oh man, I feel so guilty, I have all those things, but then I keep it for myself, I just want to enjoy it for myself, and I don't share it. So it's either anger or guilty, and I think that is not really what I want to share today. So just to clear up a misunderstanding that often comes with these verses, is that God is not against owning possessions. There are many disciples that Jesus called, and they just don't ask everyone to give up their possessions, and we'll learn later why. And the second one, God is not in the business of making you poor or making you suffer. I think I give up with my cheat sheet. Maybe I'm not meant to cheat today. Nah, it's okay. I'm confident enough. Hopefully I'll make it. So the second one is God is not, you know, laughing at you when you suffer. And his call is not to, you know, okay, give away and live heartily and, you know, and that is not God. As I mentioned, that God loves you. I mean, with the rich young man, even though he went away, Jesus already loved him before he did anything. So that is not the purpose of my sharing today. And my real motives, or what I feel is the real motives of that passage, is that it's Jesus' invitation to follow him, to join him, and to lead a free and fulfilling life. And of course, when you see this, you know, you might wonder, whoa, I thought eating all the good food is the purpose of my life, right? I thought driving a nice car, having a nice apartment is my purpose in life. I thought that having more money means more freedom because I can, you know, buy airplane to wherever I want to go. I can just take vacation whenever I want to go. But how come giving away for others, how come giving away to the poor lead you to a free and fulfilling life? And I think here's the kind of the secret, or how do I come into this conclusion, is that God created you according to his image and likeness. So you have some similarity with God in a way. And because of that, we are a bearer of God's image. And there are some things that God put in us that is like him. And because God is love, so I think it's rightly says that we've been created for greater things. You know, we have been created more than just to eat the good food, more than just to have a nice career, good career, nice house. But I think we are created to be loved and to love others. And I think you all know it. I mean, who doesn't want to be loved? Who doesn't want to have a girlfriend or a boyfriend and love them? Who doesn't want to have a loving family? I believe that that desire, you know it. It's in your heart. It's written in every one of us. You know, we want to love and we want to be loved. And unfortunately, sometimes the problem is, you know, it's a misplaced love. You know, we put our love in the wrong place. We love the wrong things, or we love the right things in the wrong ways. And throughout my life, there's been a lot of occasion when this happens. That's why I feel that when I read this, it really speaks to me. You know, back in DVC, at the time, the craze was about, I don't know if you know, True Religion jeans. Anyone use it? It's like the expensive, say they say it's good, you know, that's kind of like, ooh, everyone, you know, come here and then get these jeans, and then I want it. I want to be loved, to be honest. I want to have a girlfriend. I just broke up at the time. So I feel like, you know, this might be one thing that can help me to get the attention. Unfortunately, I don't have the extra money to get the $200 jeans. I look online, and finally on Christmas Day, they have discount in Nordstrom in Walnut Creek, I still remember. I came there alone, I try it, and then I buy it. To be honest, it looks ugly. it's baggy, it's a bit bigger, it doesn't have my size, so it's a bit bigger, it looks baggy. It's the type that has big pocket, back pocket, you know. True Religion has the big pocket. It looks good if you are tall and have a big body. It makes you look short and fat when you're short like me. But then I bought it still because I'm hoping that, you know, it shows my status. It shows that, oh man, maybe I can attract more people, or I don't know what I'm thinking at the time. I end up using it less than 10 times, and then I donate it when I was in Berkeley or somewhere. Because it looks, when I try it again, I was like, how did I end up buying this? It looks ugly. But at the time, it just, I want to be loved. I want to be liked by people. I want people to look at me and like, oh, I want to be friends with you. So I, that is one of an example, I guess, where I try to find love in the wrong place. Or sometimes we love the right things in a wrong way, in an excessive way. We love our family, of course. We are supposed to love our families, our friends, parents. But then sometimes we expect them to be our savior. We expect them to behave in certain way that will satisfy our life, that will give us comfort, that will give us joy. We expect our parents to be our genie in the bottle, to answer everything that we need, everything that we want. You know, we expect them to be a savior. And of course, usually only, you know, one of these things will happen. Either the person breakdowns because they cannot bear your expectation, or you break down because you're disappointed by them. So these are just some problems that I feel like very real in our lives, you know. Love is there, but oftentimes we love the wrong things, or we love the right things in the wrong way. And so what I want to share with you is to evaluate our lives today, because I feel like, or at least I also believe that an ordered life comes from an ordered love. You know, when you have God at the first hierarchy, when you love God first and foremost, and you love others and things below it, then your life will be more, you have more freedoms. You know, I'm not saying that we should reject a good dessert. You know, I don't reject boba. I don't say that we should always walk, not have a car. I don't say that we should reject all these goods, but I think all these goods, this beauty, this pleasure, this nice thing should be put in proper place, be submitted, and be used rightly. Because when things are a mess, when your love are all over the place, then, you know, you'll always be filled chained, you know, like this rich young ruler. You know, the problem is not that he has riches. The problem is not that he has all these things. I think the problem is that all these things had him. You know, his what he has end up chaining him to where he is. You know, when God comes into your life and God speaks into your life and say, come and follow me, I hope that you can answer yes. I hope that what you have doesn't end up owning you. You know, and there are many things in our life that can be a chain in our life and rob us of the freedom that God wants us to have. You know, I put a lot of things because in my life, there have been many things. In different seasons of my life, there's different things that has make me struggles. You know, when I was still in student, I was still in school, you know, my grades, I want to be liked by people, I want to have a girlfriend. When I start working, I put a lot of love to my money. I want to gain more, I want to earn more, and I want to be seen successful by the salary that I have. When I have, you know, in my situation now, I have a family, all I want is comfort. I want to go on vacation, enjoying a nice hotel. I want to, you know, spend my time doing what I like. So what about you? I mean, all of you might be in different seasons, but I just want to invite you to see and evaluate your life and see, is there a chain in your life? Is there things that end up owning you? What are the things that, if you lose it, you'll panic and you'll lose your self-worth? What are the things that, if you have to let it go, then you have existential crisis? You know, you start having crisis of your life. What are those things in your life? Because as much as you want to live a fulfilling life, as much as you want to have a free life, if those things are chaining you, then, you know, you'll end up chained to that place. You'll end up chained in that situation. So what owns you? Now, the other half of the equation, you know, the first part of Jesus' invitation to, hey, you know, Let go of the things that holding you back and follow me. So the second part is the following. You know, it's the invitation, like, hey, come. Come and follow me. Come and follow me and join my community. Be my disciples. Learn from me. Learn from my other disciples. And this is what this young man, the rich young ruler, missed, right? Because he doesn't want to let go. He cannot really wholeheartedly follow Jesus. He went away sadly. And, I mean, the same invitation, the same question is given to you. Do you want to join me? Do you want to come and be part of my community? And I think Anthony, you know, in the story of that, the other guy, Anthony, he did it right. He sold his possession, and after that, he lived with the teacher, he lived in the community, and then in the autobiography, so all these things I know because there is the autobiography of him. He lived in a community, he learned, let me just read it. I guess I still need my cheat sheet. So Anthony observed the graciousness of one. He learned the unceasing prayer of another. He took knowledge of another's freedom from angers and another's loving kindness. One he admired for his endurance, another for his fasting. He learned long-suffering and meekness from one's, and he took note of the piety towards Christ and the mutual love which animated all. So I think that is the invitation as well for each of us, you know, in the church, in the care group. That is, I hope that we can learn together. I know that I'm not perfect. I mean, our leaders are not perfect. Our pastors also not perfect. I mean, each one of us are just humans, but I hope that we can be a family, because I truly believe that, you know, the church is not just something you go to on Sunday. The church is not, you know, like in and out. You just come, get what you need, and then left. I believe that the church is something you belong to, because the church is your family in Christ. I mean, that's what we believe in IFGF, because I think that is the essence of God. Like Pastor Jimmy, you know, the founder of IFGF, say, like, God ordained this family. He wants us to be a family in the church. And as much as I know that we struggle with one another, I hope that we can learn to live out our new identity as God's children in this church. And, I mean, I cannot promise you that everything will go well, smooth, but I do sincerely try to love you. I sincerely try to help you and serve you and to look at you and treat you as my brother or sisters. So, just to recap, these two men, Anthony and the nameless rich young rulers, I hope that it doesn't end up, yes, Anthony's like, I hope that you can, you know, be like Anthony. Hope Anthony can be like that Anthony. But I hope that my story today doesn't end up just becoming your inspiration or a nice story to hear, but I hope that you can evaluate yourself and remind yourself of God's invitation and his invitation for you to join him and to also live a free life and a joyful life. I'm going to close with these quotes. You know, if there's one thing that I want you to remember today, I hope you can remember this, that the highest good was God himself, and all the other goods are lesser goods that flow from his hand, intended to lead us back to him. I hope you to understand that all these things that we enjoy, you know, the stars, the beautiful scenery, the nice food, our clothes, a lot of these things are goods and we don't need to hate them. But at the same time, I hope that you remember that those things come from God and are intended to lead us back to him. I hope that we, when you go to a vacation and look at this beautiful mountain and a lake or anything, you remember that it's God that put the stars and create the earth. When you eat the good food, I hope you remember that God gives you a pleasure to enjoy food from your mouth. When you have a place to stay, I hope that you can give thanks that he has provided you with all the materials that you need. And I want you to remember that all these things that you can enjoy, all these things that you admire, it comes from God, and he is the highest good. So imagine how beautiful God is. Imagine how much riches he has. Imagine what can, you know, when you meet God, there will be no other things that will be better than Him. So I hope that in this life we can seek Him so that in the next life we can truly enjoy Him and know Him. I'm going to close, so I invite the musician to come up. I encourage each of us, you know, to say yes to the invitation. Maybe the invitation doesn't come directly from God. Maybe it's from your Chege leaders, maybe from your pastors, from your friends. But I hope that when someone invites you to come, that, you know, you'll come. I hope that we can truly be a family, and I hope that our life can be transformed in this community, in this church, through His grace, through God's grace and His love. And I invite everyone to stand, and I'm going to close in prayers. Let's close our eyes. Let's focus our attention on God alone. Lord God, we are here in Your presence. Lord, we are here in Your presence. You, the King, You, the Creator of heaven and earth. Lord, my mouth doesn't dare to speak of how beautiful You are, because You are more than what my mouth can say. Lord, I come to You in my brokenness. I come to You in my humility. I come to You with all my faults and my burden. I come to You with all I am, Lord. Lord, You invite me, and here I am. Speak to me, Lord, and lead me. May I follow You. May I join You. Lord, remind us that You alone is the most high, that You alone is the most satisfying and loving, that You alone is the most sweet and beautiful. Lord, in You is every perfection that has ever been and ever will be. In You shall I find my rest and peace and joy. And Lord, let Your presence be real in our life. Let Your love and Your peace transform our life. Lord, may we desire You more than all other things in our life. May we desire You more than every beauty, every riches, every pleasure, every comfort that we can enjoy. Above all things, Lord, let we seek You and let our soul rest in You. For You have created us for Yourself, Lord. And our hearts will be restless until we find rest in You. Lord, here we are. And I pray, Lord, that we can be a family, that we can support one another, encourage one another, learn from one another. And Lord, I want to commit myself and invite everyone to commit yourself to this new family that God has ordained. We are Your children, O Lord, and may we live like ones. May we live out our new identity. May we come to You knowing that we are loved. May we come to You knowing that we are already forgiven. For You are our Heavenly Father, who loves us more than we can ever imagine. Amen.